pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in my family, and I want to be macabre to start this off with, in my family, we have two sides that do two different things when it comes down to funerals. If you are a Roland, you go down to Kentucky, we've got a hill. And we put all our family members on one particular hill. It is absolutely tricky to be a pallbearer on this because it is a Kentucky hill. They just up. So there's that. On the Adkins side of the family, my mom's side of the family, there is a funeral home down in Southgate, where we're actually from, down in Southgate that we go to. We've been going to the same funeral home all of my life, right? And in this funeral home, they've got this, I don't want to call it a gift shop, but it's kind of that. You can go in and you can buy plates and memorials and vases and things with etchings on them. They kind of had a neat little shop there. And I saw this passage of scripture on so many different of the curios, antiquities, whatever you want to call them. So many of those things. And I sat there and I understand why. It is a comforting word. It is a passage of compassion. And we see there it even kind of fits because it talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But this passage of scripture is worth so much more than just a funeral dirge. It is not a funeral poem. It is a poem about life. And how it is we ought to live it. So tonight I want to look at this. I want to pull it apart and take a look at how it is that if we follow God's directions, we can be at home. We can be at peace, right? However, if we go about things our own way, not so much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, I pray that you bless our church, that, Lord, you take away the specter of illness that is upon us, that, Father, you lend strength to those that need it, healing to those that need it. But, Lord, I pray this, that you reach into our spiritual lives, and if there is need of spiritual healing tonight, Lord, if there's any rebellion, any pushing away of you that we're doing, Lord, that you fix that in us tonight. Let us be, Father, vessels worthy of you. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we look at this verse, I want to look at the first few verses here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What is that verse saying? Well, if we can just simply break it down, it's this. Do you know who my shepherd is? Do you know who watches and cares for my soul? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my God that watches over me. There'll be no needs here that my God will not be meeting. You better believe that he is going to take care of me. Right? I'm kind of laughing. I mentioned my uncle. He took his granddaughters with him yesterday when he took Xander with him to go to the store. Guess how many pieces of candy Grandpa brought the kids back with? Right? You don't have to worry about the kids having a good time with Uncle Carl or Grandpa because he's going to make sure that they are okay. Right? Well, what happened? You know, you're going out on a hike, but you got that nurse with you. Don't worry about it. They'll take care of it. They've got the knowledge. They brought a first aid kit with them. Something happens on the hike, you got somebody there to watch out for you. Right? We think about these things, right? Well, we're hiring somebody to come and do work in the house. Well, it's okay. My brother's a contractor, and I can run everything by him. We rely on the experts in our lives to what? Give us advice, take care of us. When God is our shepherd, you better believe there's nothing that we'll want for. Now, again, we won't have everything we think we need. We won't have everything we think we want, but we'll have everything we do actually need. Right, we'll have everything with that, and I'll tell you what, God will bless us with the things that we want because I stay on the path that God has put me on. I'll have what I need. We think about GPS nowadays. All right, there are some things I could not find without GPS. Right? I remember my first job as a, it was my first job in the delivery business, was delivering car parts down in and around Detroit, stretching anywhere from Monroe up to Detroit. That's kind of a big window. I knew nothing of where anything was. I didn't know anything about downtown Detroit driving around. Game changer when I got the GPS. However, so often people would ask me, you know, the people that were training me, my boss, what way did you take to get there? Well, my GPS said, do this, do this, do that. That's what I did. Oh, no, you can't get there going that way. Well, it said, do this, do this, do this, do that. Right? We have multiple ways to get to places, don't we? Many ways. Brother Art was just, as we were moving, I took cold water down to McKinley. He goes, why don't you just take Mount Morris? I said, I don't know. I put it in my GPS once. I never questioned it since. Sure enough, I started taking Mount Morris back and forth. It was a game changer. It changed everything. Right? There's many ways to get to places. Not all of them are as fast. Not all of them are as intelligent. And that is what we're looking at in this world. It is a world that is so full of ideas and advice, and we can do it this way and we can do it that way. But none of them are listening to what God says to do in life. Passive parenting, aggressive parenting, we need to be allies to certain causes, we need to do this. Silence all that. What does God say to do? Because there are some directions out there, you can't get to having all your needs met by going there. They say that you have to, they say that you got no choice. Yeah, you ever meet those people? Well, I grew up in the inner city, we had no choice but to sell drugs. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You rely on God. You trust in Him. You serve Him. God gives you another way, and you take it. Well, you don't understand. No, I do understand. That's the problem. I do understand. You don't think that the modern day Christian or Christians like you and me haven't had thousands of opportunities to go out there and really mess our lives up? Of course we have. What was the difference? Our intelligence, our wisdom? No, it is what God said not to do and us honoring that. Sometimes we need to be able to listen to the directions of this world and say, no, you can't get there that way. As we continue reading on in this passage, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. My needs are met with Him, but in Him I have rest. In Him I have rest. You know, there are people out there, they're struggling with drugs. They're struggling with the consequences of all their sin. And they're waiting for shoes to drop. They're waiting for cops to knock on the door. They're filing for divorces. They're trying to reach a hold of their kids who haven't talked to them in months. They're sitting there getting fired from jobs. They are not having peaceful lives. Well, I need to have this. It's where I get my peace. It doesn't cause peace. It takes your peace away. We need to stop confusing peace for sedation. Just because you can't feel doesn't mean you have peace. God gives me peace. You know, in times where you're tempted to lie, you tell the truth, you'll be able to walk away with peace. You will. In times where you are tempted to take what is not yours and you decide to do the right thing, you will walk away with peace. It is when you do the other thing, you don't have peace. Well, I'm tired of going back to the same old pastures. I'm tired of going back to the same old way of doing things. I want to live it up a little bit. But you don't know where you're going. And you don't know the dangers that are out there. And half the time, even if we did, we're just seared enough in the conscience to risk it anyway. We cannot rely on adventure. We cannot rely on these things. And don't get me wrong, in the Christian life, there's plenty of adventure, plenty of excitement. But man, you don't need to get it in the dangerous way. You don't. I have rest when I go to the Lord, when I follow after what He wants me to do. We see also in this passage, He leads me beside the still waters. A sheep, a lamb, won't drink out of rivers or stuff like that that's flowing too aggressively. It scares them. It startles them. Right? There are things that by following God, we will never have to see in our lives. Terrifying things that we can avoid if we just honor God with what we're doing. We'll never have to go down that road. We'll never have to sit there and have a doctor give us bad news about a venereal disease. We'll never have to sit there and deal with, because we were good stewards of our money, we never have to sit there and deal with some of the problems of people just blow it away. If we honor God in our activities and in our actions, we won't have to worry about a lot of things. We won't have to worry about the rushing waters that are sweeping everybody around us away. I listed off some statistics this morning about the problems that people fall into. Problems that can be avoided if we just go in the way that God would have us to go. We need to honor God in that way. And when we do, we don't fall into the rapids. We don't get swept away by the swirling tide of sin and consequence. Why? Because we were never by those. Right, how come, you know, it's a good thing you weren't there on Sunday. The boat tipped over, all the beer went out, all the food went out, we lost all of our glasses. It was a good thing you weren't there on Sunday. I don't have to worry about that. The Lord told me where to be, and that's where I was. I didn't lose a thing. Right? Well, I tell you what, it's a good thing you weren't over there at that party. The cops showed up, arrested half of us. You're lucky. Wasn't lucky. It was obedience. It wasn't luck. God told me not to be around that stuff, and I wasn't around it. I didn't get caught up in something because I wasn't being led there to begin with. Leads us beside the still waters. We see in this the same thought that the path that the Lord takes us on, the directions that God has for us, is a path that takes us to safer places. Safer places. It's crazy when you hear people talk about that. Well, don't take the road well traveled. You know, whether the road's well traveled, the rough, it's a obstacle filled road. If the Lord tells me to go that way, that's the way I'm going to go. We rely on these cute little epitaphs and these cute little poems and these cute little rebellious quotes, and we feel as though we've fallen onto something intelligent when we try to be a rebel. Right? I knew a young man one time, he declared himself a rebel without a cause. I looked at him, I go, who are you? Is this a 90s film? Is this one of those cowboy shoot 'em up movies I fell into? What happened? Who talks like that? Right? Everyone's a rebel with a cause. Every rebel out there got a cause. What's your cause? You just want to do opposite things. What's your cause? You just want to feed your belly. You want to entertain yourself. You want to sedate yourself. Everybody's got a cause. Half the time, that cause is the worship of self. Most of the time, the cause is the worship of self. What do we do instead? What must we do instead? We must follow the paths that God has given us. Because there's where the blessing is. It says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How do we do it? We stay in the path of righteousness. That's where I go. And in that path, my soul is restored. You ever just, I don't know, have a day where your soul, you feel in your soul, you're agitated. And not in an angry way, but you just got so much going on. Everything's bubbling and percolating and you're just bothered. There's no rest in your life. Pause. Do what Jesus did. Jesus often took time away just to pray, just to fast, just to refocus himself on what was of value. When we talk about it from the realm of Christian counseling, when somebody is in that state of agitation or hurt, what we need to do is first center you back on God. Get your eyes back on Him. Because so often while we're juggling things, we forget about Him first. Take a break. Get your eyes back on God. Pray. And we see in that restoration of the soul. There'll be times on a Monday I'll come in kicking myself, not happy. I'll put on some of the sermons some of the other brethren that I know preached. And I'll listen to them. And it restores my soul. I'll sit down, I'll have some quiet in the office, and I'll read the Bible, and I'll read through my passage that day, and perhaps I'll go somewhere else that I like to go to really get myself centered and focused again. And all of a sudden, I feel my soul being restored. I feel that strength coming back. And if nothing else, at least that focus comes back, that drive comes back to serve the Lord. He restores my soul, and so often in life, that's what we need. Are you hurting? Are you sad? Go to the shepherd that restores. Are you angry? Are you bitter? Is there something wrong? Go to the shepherd that restores. God is so good in that way. He leads us there. And if we ever stray off, He'll bring us back. His primary care is us and our welfare. Folks, we ought to be glad in that and not cavalier about it and walk away from it. Let us be glad that we serve a God that cares enough to restore our soul. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what? Rules matter. We see the idea of the rod and the staff, the correction and the leadership there. And then, of course, on the other one, there's the weapon. Right? And some shepherds, they even carried slings, right, to really get those animals from far off before they got in, or to correct the sheep from far off. God doesn't just care that we're having a good time like modern-day Christianity, these franchise churches want you to believe. He wants you to come up right. He wants you to be right in your soul and in your actions. That's what God wants. Right? I mentioned that before. Our goal ought not to have good kids, but godly kids. Not to be good men or women, but godly men or women. And if I focus on being godly, the good will take care of itself. The good will be there. Why? Because that's who God is. And if that's who I'm pleasing, that's how I get there. We need to focus on being godly in our lives. And that's what He wants. There's a little bit of correction in Him. There's a little bit of leadership in there. It all comes together in one package to better your life. Right? I love the songs that say, come as you are. I love the preachers that preach, come as you are, but don't ever think you're to stay that way. Well, God loves me with all my dents and dings. Yes! But the Word of God will take you back to the shop and bang those out of you. Well, He loves me with all my faults. You better believe He does. And He gave you the Word. He gave you the preaching of the Word to get those faults out of you. That rod and that staff should comfort us. Let me use this as an illustration. So camp is coming up. We're going to go up to a Kentucky mountain. And I tell you what, you get a good workout there. You do. Right? By the time you come back, I mean, your calves are just muscled out. Because you're either going up the mountain or down the mountain just to go back up the mountain again. Right? You're just climbing that thing up and down all day. If you're chasing after the kids, you're doing it faster. It's good stuff. Hey, what if you found out camp, no rules? Kids could just run around all day. We'll get there on Monday. Tear them loose. Have some meals. If they show up, they show up. But we're going to keep this real loose. We just want them to develop their own personalities. We want them to just relax. Now, from a humanistic point of view, yes, that's progressive. That's wonderful. Rattlesnakes out there. I've seen them. As a matter of fact, there's a story that they tell. I'm not trying to scare you. There's a story that they tell that during a preaching service, a rattlesnake fell out of the rafters. My pastor tells that story. Just landed right in front of the preacher. And I tell you what, that'll get you to preach either faster or harder. But what would you do? You'd say, well, no, brother, that's incredibly dangerous. That's a mountain. There's a pool there, right? Yeah, there's a pool there. Right, there's a giant water slide that takes you down the mountain. Now, again, we separate the swimming on this, by the way. I don't want anybody coming at me later. We separate it out. Boys swim, girls swim. It's all divided. But, brother, there's dangers down there. Yep. So we got rules. Okay, well, it's good to have rules. It's good. I like the rules. Rules are good. And you know what else we have? We have adults there to make sure that the rules are enforced. You need them both. You need the guidance. You need someone there to enforce the rules. Why? Because rules are so very important, especially if you're the guy making the rules. We don't make the rules. God makes the rules. We need those. Because there's things out there that we're watching people, we're watching these things consume people's lives, and we're still sitting there hollering about the freedom to be able to do so. No, I listen to God. God takes me into places, and even though the path turns dark, even though there's loss, there's illness, there's debt, whatever problems come into your life, even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear anything, because that same God is there, and He will guide you through it. Well, you have any idea how bad I'm hurting today? You know what? I don't. We all hurt differently. We've all carried different things. But you know and who does care? The Lord. He knows your heart in and out. He put it together. He watched the experiences in your life shape and form you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Who are you going to listen to, Dr. Phil or God? Who are you going to listen to, these fake gurus, these fake philosophers? Or are you going to open the Word of God and listen to the one that built you? Oh, we ought to listen to God. That's when we can sit there and have no fear. That's when we sit there and even though there's sorrow, even though there's heartache in our lives, even though there's fear of death in our lives, we can listen to the Lord and we can have that peace. And we understand, hey, listen, however it works, it's going to work out His way. There's a power to be able to say to you back to your doctor, hey, either this takes me, right, and puts me in God's hands, or God delivers me from it. Either way, I get to see God work in this. There was somebody, their daughter was having seizures. They gave them the x-ray. They found out there was a tumor in the little, I think she was 11 years old. The 11-year-old girl's head. A little tumor in there causing seizures. It's a scary moment. And for a while, the parents had no idea what was going to happen, what needed to be done. But I tell you what, in there was the anticipation. Because they were people that loved the Lord and served the Lord, there was the anticipation that the Lord was going to work it out in some way. What way? Who knows? But the Lord was going to work it out. And I tell you what, that's exactly what the Lord did. Worked it out years. Hasn't had a seizure since. Grown person, had a baby, about to have another. That's how the Lord works. Now, always? No. You got to go sometime. I can sit there. If ever I get sick enough, I could pray all day, every day. Lord, still say it's your time. But even and then, I get to sit there and say, it's my time. I mean, this hurts and it's awful. And there's a lot of bad and there's a lot of decisions that got to be made. I'm not saying that it turns it all into sunshine and roses. But I get to see the Lord. Right? Oh. There's no victory. All of a sudden, the grave has lost its victory and death has lost its sting. Because I don't have to fear it anymore because I know it's on the other side. There are people right now, they'll pass away today. They've got no idea what's on the other side. Lord comes for you or me today. We know exactly what we're going to. We know exactly what we're going to see. I don't have to fear. Why? Because God protects me. He watches over me. I love the idea of the Lord watching over us and caring for us and only allowing into our lives things that He knows is going to work. He's going to be able to work out for good. Right? He's just there. Much like how I'll watch after the kids and perhaps I'll let them run into trouble just enough so they can grow a little bit. Right? All right, what are you going to do? Show me. All right, and then you step in and you rescue them. Right? Lord does that for us, except He doesn't ask questions. He knows. Right? At such and such time, I'm going to put Matt Rowland in this situation, and he's going to do this. And by that, he's going to grow. Right? And if not, I'm going to use this to turn him around till he does do that. Now, again, I don't think the Lord questions. Those are just two options that the Lord uses. I'm either going to get him to repent or I'm going to give him an opportunity to grow. Either way, I'm going to make him better. I'm going to sharpen him up with this thing. That's how the Lord works. And I trust in that. And if there are wolves, if there are bears, if there are lions that come roaring into my life, I simply just need to tuck up close to the shepherd, listen to what he has to say, and watch him fight for me. Listen to his advice and watch it work in a world that denies his existence. Because I tell you what, for an atheistic world, a world that hates God, that denies his existence, they do spend a lot of time fighting with him. You ever notice that? You do spend a lot of time fighting with them. California, which is always on fire. Right? All the ways that God judges our world and judges the kingdoms of men for their abhorrent sins. What God is doing with America right now for our sins and for our adultery against him. We spend all this time fighting against him and we'd still deny his existence. It's sad. It said, but that is the God that fights for us. That is the God that takes care of us and loves us. He takes us to paths that lead to safer places. I remember, again, using that GPS. And one of my coworkers took me aside. He goes, listen, that GPS of yours is pretty handy. He goes, but there's one thing it can't do. I go, what's that? He goes, tell you where to go to get shot. I go, what? He goes, well, you were just telling me what road you took to get to here or there, right? I go, yeah. He goes, you do know that the cops don't even go down that road, right? I go, what? He goes, yeah, the cops don't even go down there. He goes, you go down there, you don't stop at stop signs, you don't do anything. He goes, here, get a pen and paper. Let me show you how to get there safer. That's what God does. Even in reckless moments, in moments where we're just thrust into something bad, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did everything right. They were still in a lousy situation. Daniel, despite his faithfulness, still in a lousy situation. Anybody, really. Joseph, from day one, only wanted to please the Lord in his actions. And yet all the same, he was in a rotten situation. But who protected them in those bad situations? The Lord did. Who would have gone after them if they kneeled? The Lord. What would have happened if they would have tried to do it in their own strength? They would have burned. Joseph would have been killed at any given point. He would have been lost to history, lost into the wicked history of slavery. Just would have happened. But no, when we abide by God, when we are on his side, don't be surprised when he takes care of his own. I can be at rest in front of my enemies. You know how many conversations that I've had to have in either the workforce or in life where I've been demanded that I compromise and I've got the ability to just kind of sit there, smile, feel nothing, and go, no. No, you don't understand what we can do to you if you don't. Okay. Go ahead. But this is where I stand. This is why I stand there. No. It doesn't always work out the way I want it to. But it has often worked out in better ways. It's often worked out in ways that God had better planned for. And there have been things that we've had to struggle with. Right? That we had to struggle with in order to grow. And in growing, we've grew a deeper devotion to the Lord, a closeness to the Lord. Right? Again, just that getting closer to God, getting closer to him, listening to what he has to say, having more respect and an ear out. I was telling the story back there while we were doing our prayer band this morning. We had a very unique situation. We've got our brand new dog. He's my German Shepherd, Hans. He's a good boy. Tell you what, I love that dog. I was sitting there, I was looking out in the backyard. He was running around the backyard, and I was looking back there, and I saw some deer along the back fence. Now, that is a wire fence. And Hans, the reason why he was surrendered to the Humane Society was he was a fence jumper. Well, I'm looking at these deer and I go, oh boy, that is a great scene, isn't it? Good morning, deer. Look at that, so nice. Don't you love finding animals in your backyard? That's nice. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden I look down and there's my dog. His ears are up and he's staring. And I hate to pick on the boys, but they're all sitting there lined up by the door. Danielle's lined up by the door. I go, boys, move. Boys, move. Boys, move. They didn't move. So I did. I whistled for them. That dog beelined it into the house, ran right past two of them. Just went, boom. You know why that dog listens to me? Because he's practiced listening to me. He comes to me and I give him treats. Right, our first couple weeks, that's what we did. I took him for a walk. Hey, come here, boy. All right, there you go. All right. And I whistled. Okay, here you go. We played that game, and then it was balls. Oh, he loves a good tennis ball. Play with the ball. Good time in the backyard. But now he associates his name with, I need to get to him. No treats, no ball, no toy. He calls me. I'm there. And I love that. 2 weeks in, we're happy. Right? Now, why? Because his devotion's right here. His love is right here. Right? Now, those boys back there will work on it, but... And I remember being that way when I was a kid, and so do you. Right? Come here! Yeah, I'll get there in a second, Dad. You hold on. All right, boys, come on and clean up! Yeah, I'm going to come in and clean up. Hold on. All right. And we get that way with the Lord. Hey, knock that sin off! Okay. Be there in a little bit. But when that devotion's right... Ooh, yeah, sorry. Ooh. And I'm back. Because that would have been a cliff I fell over. You would have had to come and get my broken sheep body, pull it back out. You'd have left the 99 to come get my sorry self and bring me back. No, I'm coming. I'm breaking my leg again. Here I am. Right? The shepherd's over there. I'm over here. I better hurry up and go get him. I better get over there, go back to where I was. Go back to following him. Devotion will do that. Love will do that. And God will take us to wonderful places and we will see wonderful things. And that's not prosperity gospel preaching, by the way. That is the manner of life. Yes, there will be hardships. Yes, there will be sorrows. But it'll be a lot happier, a lot more blessed and better off than if I were to go the way of sin. A lot better off. And not just that, but to fit right into it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've used that illustration before in sales, right? There was that little technique that they try to teach us, right? Tell the people that the apartments are $200 less than what they are to get them to come in. Right, and then tell them that there is a admin fee, there is a water fee, a gas fee, a looking out the window fee, and just kind of build that up. I say, oh yeah, well that's the price for the apartment, but once all the fees are considered, I didn't do it because I felt that was deceitful. Well, you'll never do a good job if you don't bend it just a little bit. Okay. And my boss sat there, and she was the regional manager, said, listen, she goes, you'll never make the top five in the company. You'll never sell anything. She goes, I'll end up coming back here just to fire you because you're not doing well. I go, okay. Did it the honest way. And I tell you what, I was adding those top five papers up because you get top five. There's five people whose names on a list. And my name was on it. Here you go. And my boss came back. She goes, I don't understand. I go, I know, I'm not even good at this. Like, literally, this is a closet. You want to put your stuff in there? Yeah, okay, all right, here we go. Well, are you doing what you're doing what I told you to do, right? No. I'm telling them on the phone, hey, it's this much. And they're coming in and they go, thank you for when you said it was this much and now it is this much. They appreciated it. Well, don't you get a lot of people that just don't come in? Yeah, you wonder why they don't come in? Because they can't afford it. You know, they could probably afford a whole lot less. Me bringing them in for a price they could afford, lying to them for an hour and a half, and then giving them the price they can't afford. And I sit there, and there'd be special benefits, too. You get called up, and you get to stand there at meetings and be in the group of people who are doing a good job because that's how sales is. You just kindergarten attaboy them to death. You know, you're such a good boy, Eric. See, you get to be up there, and there I am. You know, you get the bonus. You get the prize. And I'm sitting at a table before my enemy because I honored God. Right? You get your family on your case. Well, you need to do the Easter Bunny. You need to do the Christmas Santa Claus. You need to do all these things in your house. You need to have a tooth fairy. You need to have all these things. No, I don't. Well, your kids will be miserable. Man, I got some happy kids. Look at them. You know, they're a little bored right now because they're done hearing Daddy talk for today, but my kids get all sorts of stuff. They're happy. Right? Well, you're going to stifle their imagination. You come talk to them. You come talk to them. Man, if you're bored, my kids got stories. If you're in a bad mood, my kids got jokes. And they didn't get it from Santa Claus. Right? Tooth Fairy didn't show up and give them a personality. Well, you can't homeschool them. They won't be as intelligent. I dare you. I would take all the kids in our church and compare them against kids their age, right, today. Compare them today from the average kids walking out of the Mount Morris schools. Any one of them. Right? We'll test all 12 of them I think we got. We'll test them compared to that. Why not? You know, and I tell you what, we raised our children with a strict moral character. I would take any of the teenagers, any of the kids in our church, and compare them to those that weren't raised. And I say that just like that. They weren't raised. You're not raised godly. You're not raised. And we could sit at a table the Lord has prepared for us in front of our enemies. Well, that'll never work, but it's working. Well, you know what? That'll just be bad for them. I don't know. Having a good time to me. You know, they got to be able to socialize. They can. We got some great kids in our church. They'll socialize. I love that. My cousin, she brought her little girl in. She's got one girl. She's very reserved. Right? More like an Echoberry. Reserved. Intelligent. She's got one that I couldn't tell if she was more like Gideon or Caspian. Jess talked to me the whole time. Just da-da-da-da-da, and I got this kind of candy. Look what was inside my candy, and look at this. And I was working on something. We were planting some light poles, and she came over. She goes, can I hit this with a hammer? I go, yeah, you can hit this with a hammer. And we're hitting things with a hammer, and I'll take a turn, and she'll take it. Talk the entire time. When you raise your kids, they're going to come out all right. That's all I'm saying. And you can sit there, and you can, all the things you say I couldn't get to by going God's direction, I have. You're telling me I can't, but I have it. That's the definition of that situation right there. And then later on, they're coming to you and they're asking, hey, listen, you know, the wife and I were having issues with this, that, or the other thing. But I noticed that you don't ever talk about that. What's your secret? You know, listen, you just went through this devastating thing and you came out like this, but I'm going through it and I'm drowning. Can you help? They'll look to that. Because I tell you what, they'll come sniffing around that table. When they're hungry, when they need help, when they are trying to figure out how you got it. Right? Because that's what the world says, cheat, 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 cheat. But what happens if you cheat enough? You don't have anything. Take shortcuts. Be immoral. Do whatever you can to get what you got to have. And they end up with a belly full of nothing. They'll come look over at you. Well, what do I got to do? This ain't me. You want a Tony Robbins 10-step process? I ain't got one. You need the whole counsel of God. It starts with salvation. And that's what the Lord does. He gives us the blessings. Our cups run over. Our heads are anointed. Now again, when we see that anointing, there's a lot of religious aspect there too. But, you know, back in the day, if you had product to rub in your hair, you're doing pretty good. If you had some kind of anointing there on your head, if you could afford the oil, that's a good thing. Many of us, we find blessings and blessings on top of blessings when we serve the Lord. And again, that is not a if I obey, God gives me tons of blessings kind of thing. That's just who God is. He's generous. He is loving. And no, he doesn't give it all at once. Sometimes he doles them out. Sometimes he holds them back. It's all about, again, what he feels you need. And I love this. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy. I love that partnership. Those are good friends for me. To have goodness and mercy. Because God knows everything about me. He knows my failures, my weaknesses, every mistake I've ever made, every sin I've ever committed. God knows what it is. And of course, we understand that that which is bought and paid for, God forgets, but He still knows who I am at the heart. And yet He still treats me with goodness. Be honest, is that kind of hard for you to do? You run across somebody that you know have done some bad stuff and you start to do that little, man, I want to be near them, I don't want to be around them. God knows everything you've done. And He responds with goodness. And what else does He respond with? Mercy. Lord, this is the 28th time. I'm so sorry. And we still have forgiveness. Because that's the power of the blood. It's the power of the blood of Christ. Covers every sin. And this final thought. Sorry, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That at the end of all of this, right? At the end of the green pastures and the still waters and the table set up before mine enemies, the life that is lived between the rod and the staff, at the end of it all, I get to go before God and spend an eternity with Him. What a wonderful thing. Wonderful. I mean, of all the people that we have lost who've gone on to heaven, gone on to glory, we get to join them. For all the people that we've read about in the Bible, for the martyrs that should be famous that we don't know their names, for the brethren and sisters of Christ that have gone on before us, we get to see them. That throne, that golden street, to sit in the presence of God and bask in the glory, to hear the angels proclaim His worthiness. We get all those things forever. Forever. You know, you take the kids to a fair or something like that. What was that? We went to the dog show. Bouncy house. You get two tickets, gives you 5 minutes in a bouncy house. For 5 minutes, a kid can be a kid. You say, ah! Forever. Right? Hey, listen, why don't you come over to the Airbnb? Why don't you rent this cottage, this cabin? Come out here, rent that. You can have it for 3 days. You can have it for 2 days. You can have it for a whole week. And at the end of that week, you got to leave all the fun and you got to go back. We're moving, not vacationing. For a time that our brains can't even fathom. Can you fathom eternity? Like, I liken that to how they talk about space. That it just goes on and on and on and on, an infinite ability. There's no ending to it. In our finite minds, hey, listen, there's this wall, then there's that wall. And then there's this wall, and there's that wall. Right? Lord's given me 84 years, so I've got this time, and then this time, and it's done. In eternity, there is no done. It stretches on and on. And I tell you what, it's not more of this. It's not more of looking at gas prices and biting our nails over politics and trying to figure out the next medical bill, trying to figure out the next medical problem we've got. We don't have any of that. It's joy and wonder and glory, and we'll never run out of fun. We'll never run out of things to sing about. We'll never run out of things to do. And all of it will be joy. When we walk in God's paths, we will find out why the Lord Jesus Christ called Himself the Good Shepherd. Because there is no shepherd that cares for you the way that God does. He knows all the good pastures. He knows all. He knows where it's the greenest, the lushest, it's got shade. He knows where those areas are. All we have to do is follow Him, and life will be filled with blessings. Oh, and hurts and sorrows, but so very much blessings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Your